in my heart, I knew that there was something that I had to do, and it was something for me. And I always knew that somewhere down there, I valued myself. Yes, even though I didn't say it externally, you know, all the time to myself, I knew that, you know, as a spiritual being, I mean, in this human body, I knew that I needed to do something and needed to help myself somehow.
This is the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast, session 37.
Welcome to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast with Alyssa Dare Nelson, where we blow up the myth that you're meant to be well-rounded and independent. Here, we uncover what makes you uniquely awesome while also giving you actionable insights in to fill those gaps of the not-so-awesome. You are perfectly lopsided. Own it. Now let's dive in.
Hey there, and welcome to episode 37 of the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast. My name is Alyssa Dare Nelson, and I am honored that you've chosen to join me today. This interview was recorded pre-COVID, so you won't hear us talking about any of the current climate that we're all facing, but the content is still relevant at any time, and I know you're going to glean some great wisdom from it. So let me hop in and introduce you to our guest today. Liza Lomax is a life coach who specializes in body image coaching. She helps women eliminate their negative self-talk so they feel beautiful and confident at any weight. Liza coaches from a place of both expertise and personal experience. Here's a little bit of Liza's background. She grew up in a very unstable, unloving, and abusive household. She created some unhealthy coping strategies to try to help her get through, including developing several eating disorders, binging on diet pills, and attempts at every fad diet that she could find. And by the time she was 26, she weighed 300 pounds. A frightening conversation with her doctor prompted 105 pounds of weight loss in 13 months. Incredible, right? But she still hated herself. She was still depressed. She was still sad. She was still angry all the time. So through her journey of emotional, mental, and continued health transformation, along with equipping herself with a lot of trainings and certifications, Liza now helps women identify, address their core wounds, beliefs, and self-image to move into true self-love, body love, and health. Let's jump into the interview. Liza, thank you so much. Without further ado in that intro, why don't you tell us just a little bit more of the background behind how Love Your Body came to be? Like, give us the short version. Obviously, you went through your own health transformation, but tell us some of the details of that and why you decided to turn this into a career.
Ooh, short term. Ooh, short story. That's not a short story, but I will try to make it as short as I can. Quick little story. When I was 26, I was almost 300 pounds. I'm just going to say 300 because it was pretty darn close. 298 is pretty close to 300. So 300 pounds, 26 years old. Doctor told me I was going to die if I didn't lose weight. I was high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high borderline diabetes. I was very depressed, had anxiety. I was a very unhealthy, very sad, very just angry person. And my son was 2 at the time. And he basically was telling me that if I didn't lose weight, I wasn't going to see my son turn 5. And so it kind of set me on a journey like, I got to lose weight. And he didn't give me any direction, first of all. So I pretty much had to find everything on my own. I actually went, the first time I went on Weight Watchers, took me 13 months to lose 105 pounds. So I basically lost a whole person. Mm-hmm. However, I didn't change my mindset when it came to losing the weight. I thought it was, I have to lose the weight and that's all that matters. Yada, yada, yada. I didn't change my mindset when it came to things. So I continued to yo-yo up and down, over and over and over and over. Went on numerous diets, different pills, different fads, everything. You name it, I've done it. I tell people I probably yo-yoed more times than Oprah has. Right? And because we all know that she's yo-yoed a few times.
Just a few, yeah.
Just a few. So I continued to do this. And I had, you know, I suffered from, you know, eating disorders when I was younger. I suffered from body dysmorphia disorder. And, I looked at myself in the mirror and I absolutely hated the person that I saw. I absolutely did not love her. I didn't value her. I didn't care about her. I let people treat me like a doormat. I was a people pleaser. And I let it happen. I enabled it. I thought that that's all I was worth and all I was worthy of. And it wasn't until I started changing certain things. And it wasn't, people ask me all the time, like, what happened? What was the pivotal moment? And, I had a couple pivotal moments in my life. I had the one where I, the doctor told me I was going to die if I didn't lose weight. So I lost all the weight, but I didn't continue to have the same mindsets that I wasn't worthy, wasn't lovable. And it was just kind of a light bulb went off one day. And I was like, this is BS. Something has to change. I have to start loving myself for who I am, for me. And I started just making these small little changes where I wouldn't, I would actually pivotal things. I would stop buying these trashy magazines that I used to buy all the time. Those
the ones where the yes. models on the front that the have all been painted yes. and photoshopped and everything
yes.
else.
Mm-hmm. On the Vogue and the Mademoiselle and the Cosmopolitan. I don't even know if those magazines even exist still anymore, but yeah, I was obsessed with those models. I was obsessed with looking at that way. And that's how I thought I was supposed to be, was I was supposed to be this perfect person. And I was supposed to look a certain way and dress a certain way and act a certain way. And so I started eliminating those things. And then I started eliminating places. I started eliminating, the things that I was watching, the things that I was doing that weren't benefiting me at all, that were really toxic. The last thing I really started doing was eliminating those people. Eliminating those people that treated me like dirt, that, I was a people pleaser for, that I let them walk all over me with their dirty feet all the time. And it was very hard because a lot of them were family members. And it was the best thing I ever did for myself, was eliminating negative, toxic people from my life. That was like a huge thing. And so I started eliminating those people and places and those things. And I started making some changes and I started realizing, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm really starting to love myself again. I'm loving my body. I still had a few things here and there, but I eventually got to the point now that I can look in the mirror. In fact, I actually looked in the mirror that I was actually at the gym today, and I was standing there talking to another gym member, and I was standing there and I looked in the mirror and I'm like, damn, I look really good. I was just like, I just love my reflection in the mirror. I just, I was like, wow, I really, really, really look good. And I'm very, very proud of myself of how far I've come. And I knew that, first of all, there's other women out there just like me that have probably gone through very similar experiences, if not the same kind of experience. And I knew that, there's so many women out there that just hate looking at themselves in the mirror, hate looking at those photographs of themselves, are constantly have the inner critic in their head going over and over and over again, just saying nasty things about themselves. Yeah. And then and then what happens is that reflects out into the world. And then the same thing happens that the world treats us like crap. Right. So I knew that there were women out there that, that suffered and that had those same mindset issues that I did. And I wanted to help them. I wanted to help all of them and as many as I could. So that's kind of where I'm at now, where I've gotten to that point now.
So. Awesome. There's so many questions I have. I know. Because, I think about, and I shared on a previous podcast how I went through a really dark time in the last year that, it turned out to be, at least in major part, vitamin D deficiency. Mm. But one of the reasons I'm so grateful for it is that as this happy, bubbly, person, a glass all the way full, it just might have a little air in it, kind of person. I went through a time where I couldn't get out of bed. I went through a time where I cried every day. I went through a time where I questioned, do I belong here? Like on this planet, do I belong here? And, just really, really dark, right? Mm-hmm. And so you were in that place at 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And yet you started the journey, and yet you had this major accomplishment. And I totally understand that, you know, you can have the external accomplishment without changing the inner game. Mm-hmm. But how did you start? Like, how, you know, was it based on fear alone that you were able to get started on this journey to the weight loss? Or like, how did you drag yourself out of bed for that first workout? And more importantly, because, you know, there's people have had 100 first days, right? But the second and the fifth and the 10th, before you started to see major changes in the scale, you know, I think so many people fall down there. How did you bridge that gap?
Well, I mean, first of all, it was fear, because for one, the doctor told me I was going to die. And I'm like, dude, I'm 26. I'm like, I got my whole life ahead of me. I got to do something, you know, and then losing all that weight, you know, but then continuing to yo-yo back and forth. And I always had I liked to work out, and I knew that that was good for me. Mm. And I was a very athletic child. You know, in fact, earlier I was just talking about how I played volleyball for so many years and I played soccer, but I was still pretty heavy. You know, I was known as the chubby girl, you know, the quotations or whatever, mm-hmm. but I always had kind of a like for working out, and I knew that it was beneficial for my body, and I knew that it was good for me. But I'd still, you know, there were times where like, I don't want to go work out. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And I would, you know, I would fall back. But I mean, I knew that in my heart, I knew that there was something that I had to do, and it was something for me. And I always knew that somewhere down there, I valued myself. Yes. Yeah. Even though I didn't say it externally, you know, all the time to myself, I knew that, you know, as a spiritual being, I mean, in this human body, I knew that I needed to do something and needed to help myself somehow. And once I started to, you know, like eliminating certain things, good things were being replaced in there. Mm-hmm. So I was seeing like, I was having more people in my life that were positive, that were supportive. And I was like, where do these people come from? And, you know, whether you believe in higher source, God, angels, whatever you believe, I always know that the universe has my back and that God has my back and that, you know, he'll only give me what I can, I don't know how to explain it, only give me as much as I'm able to handle. And he'll always send me positive, yeah, you know, supporting, loving people in my life. So through my life, I mean, I had like different pivotal moments where people were placed. I knew people were placed in my life for a certain reason and were there for whatever the reason was at that time. But I knew that it was just what I tell people, like, you know, I believe the obstacles are roadmaps and road signs you're on the right direction. You're on the right course. So I knew that these people were obstacles put in my way for a certain reason. And that was whatever life lesson I needed to learn, whatever I needed to go through, whatever I was struggling with, they were there for me to help me get through that struggle. So I'm not sure if that answers your question or not. It was like these small pivotal little moments in my life that I knew that something bigger and better was out there for me.
Yeah. And I really want to underscore that point, because no matter how depressed you might be, no matter how dark your time might be that you're going through, there's a discomfort with the place you're in, right? Like, mm-hmm. If you're sitting there on the other end of the earbuds there, and you're like, yeah, I want that to be true. I want something better. Like, just follow that curiosity a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. go ahead and follow that rabbit trail just a little bit. What might it mean if it were true? If the thing in your heart that's drawing you forward in some fashion, explore that a little bit. What if it were true? And, you know, that's really why professionals, Liza, like you and I exist, right? Mm-hmm. Is to help people with that little glimmer of hope, mm-hmm. To help them create a reality out of it.
Right.
But don't push that little bit of hope away, right?
Right.
Don't, you know, I like to tell people, like to tell my clients, look, your dreams weren't put inside you to torture you.
Mm-hmm.
They were put inside to draw you forward, to push you right. forward, no matter how impossible they might seem.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's a really important piece. So I thank you for diving into that and kind of clarifying that. So your educational background was not in nutrition. It was not in body image. You learned a lot of things along the way. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about that education, both the street education and through your own experience, which I think for many of us actually holds more credibility, right, than the sort of quote, formal education, right? But right. tell us a little bit about how you came to be the expert that you are with helping people to not only get healthy, but change the head, the 6 inches between their ears that right. helps them to stay healthy.
Right. So, short version along the way, I really did collect a lot of different modalities and a lot of different things. And through the years and through, you know, through my journey. And when I was younger, when it comes to actual education, I changed my major so many times because I wanted to do everything. And I wanted to do everything. I mean, I wanted to be, I did theater for 15 years. I did singing and dancing. I did, I wanted to be a photographer. I wanted to be in photo reconnaissance. I wanted to be in the military. I wanted to be a veterinarian. I wanted to be a lawyer. I mean, there are so many things that I wanted to be, but I always helped people. I was always there to help people. And I love people. I light up when I talk to people and people yeah. tell me that. And I get so, I'm so passionate about helping anybody. And that's, really what I would do, what I did for the longest time is I just helped people in different, life things, different mm-hmm. struggles and different things like that. And, like I said, I collected a bunch of different modalities through the years. I mean, I went to school for psychology for a little bit. No, I didn't graduate. But I mean, I got the basics. I know the basics.
Steve Jobs didn't graduate either.
Exactly. So exactly. exactly. I mean, there's lots of people that haven't, So just collecting different things and knowledge yeah. throughout the years. And a lot of it was self-taught. A lot of it was, self-learning myself. A lot of stuff was online. I mean, a lot of guys certifications and so many different things. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. Because I like to do multiple things and like yeah. to have like different modalities to use. And I incorporate a lot of those into my coaching.
Yeah.
I went and got certified. I was a energy healer. I do energy healing work. So I do, Reiki master. I've gotten certifications in meditation coaching and holistic nutrition and personal training and just all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Because I just
that way you can individualize what the client needs.
Exactly. Exactly.
What they need. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like if a person is, into what I call the woo-woo, then those come out. We can, call on your angels, call on the universe, do those intuitive readings, find out what's really, going on.
Yeah.
And or if they need some energy healing work, if they need, they're clearing out of their chakras. I mean, we can do yeah. that. I mean, there's so many different little components. Or if they're more into the scientific thing, a lot of people are into the intuitive eating right now. So in my coaching, yeah. I really incorporate intuitive eating. That's something that's really big right now. I just went and gotten my certification actually, I'm working on it. It's pretty close, but for NLP, so my neurolinguistics programming
yep.
and CBT, cognitive behavior techniques. So many different things that I've just kind of just gathered along the way that, yeah. Help me in, like you said, individualizing each coaching session for each person. Cause every yeah. person is different. They're not going to be the same. One person might have a struggle with one particular thing then versus another thing. And so, yeah. yeah. So it's really just tailor making each individual coaching program for that individual person.
I love that. I think that's spectacular. And you get to show up, and this is what great coaching is all about. You show up and you're completely present to what mm-hmm. they need. And you're able to draw out of them what they need. Right. And I think that's great. So your life experience and your formal and informal education are going to give you your what you do, right? And your core values will give you your why. You already shared that you love to help people. And so often, I work with a lot of helpers and healers, right? Which is a broad paintbrush. You know, it's coaches, it's therapists, it's, you know, really anybody in the service field that, you know, is out there like, I just want to help people. But the question is, you know, what are you going to help them with? And so often, what the message, right? Or the problem that we're out here to solve is the one that we needed solved ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really does direct people who are put on this earth as helpers and healers to look back at their life experience. Like, what is it that you struggled with that you felt the hurt in your heart and in your body and otherwise that you were able to get through? And now go make it your mission to help others, you know, to navigate that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So as a purpose-driven person, I love that you're out there brave enough to help others with the thing that you needed help with.
Mm-hmm.
And that to a large degree, you had to navigate on your own.
Right. And
by doing so, that you get to shortcut their success, their road to success, rather,
mm-hmm.
by virtue of you showing up and being authentically you.
Right.
That's awesome. So we haven't yet talked about your StrengthsFinder profile.
No, we haven't.
which was a new profile for you.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for taking it, and it does show so much about your how. Right. So your core values are going to give you your why. Your life experiences will actually give you part why and part what. Right. And your education will give you your what. But what gives you your how you go about doing whatever it is you do is your StrengthsFinder profile. So can I share what your top five are?
Okay. Sure. All right. Awesome. Yes.
So Liza's top five are positivity, WOO, which remember is the only acronym in the entire bunch, stands for winning others over, communication, activator, and relator. So I had the opportunity to record a little video for you, Liza, and send you several of my specialized reports, personalized reports. So I'm curious what ahas you had out of your StrengthsFinder.
You know, there weren't so much ahas, there were more of confirmations, mm-hmm. you know, because I have really come a really long way. And I'm starting to get emotional. I've had so many struggles in my life, and communication I had lack of. So it's just kind of funny how the StrengthsFinder stuff that came up the way that they came up. You know, I didn't live a very positive life.
Mm.
You know, there was no love, and love was not shown a lot, or not at all, very much. It was in different ways, mm-hmm. By other people, not my direct family. So a lot of them were just like realizations that I've come such a long way that I'm like, wow, this really is me. This mm-hmm. is me now. And this is who I am. And this is who I've always been. And I've just kept her hidden for so long.
Yeah.
the thing
about our strengths is that each of our strengths has needs. Like humans mm-hmm. need oxygen. And so, you know, yes, this is how you've always been wired. And growing up in that environment, your needs weren't met. I mean, it's metaphorically like someone was holding your head underwater for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you don't just stop thriving, you stop surviving. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's actually not a real surprise that at age 26, your doctor is telling you quite literally, you're going to die mm-hmm. because our emotional experience, our spiritual experience, the mind, body, soul, like it's all connected, right? We know this.
Right.
Is that it was living out in your physical body because you had been suffocated for so long.
Right.
And I love that you got emotional there, because what it says is like, I'm finally being fed. I'm finally being able to, and this is my definition of true self-care, is self-fulfilling the needs of your strengths, right? So some of the needs you need to kind of bring to the table, and that's where you begin to set boundaries and say, hey, this is what I need in order to thrive. If you can't give this to me, and vice versa, like it's a contribution and a give and take, right? So it's not just you coming to the table and saying, screw you, like this is what I need. And if you can't give it to me, too bad, I'm out the door. Although sometimes boundaries need to be set that way. So that's a whole conversation for another day. Right. But it's saying, hey, this is what I need in order to thrive. And if I can't get that here, it's okay. I honor you and I release you.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. But so many of these strengths have needs that you can actually self-fulfill. So while bubble baths are great and massages are wonderful, and working out is wonderful as well, right? This is true self-care, right? Mm-hmm. So positivity, it needs optimism. It needs a warm, uplifting environment. You didn't have that growing up. No wonder. No wonder you found other ways to survive, right? And our outer self is often a reflection of our inner self. You know, the communication is about self-expression. Well, what happens if you are in a situation where you not only can't self-express, but as well, nobody else is willing to process verbally with you,
right?
That's not a part of the conversation. So setting boundaries with, which may include cutting people out of your life, right, is such an important piece. And that's one of the things that I love to teach my clients as we move along is what boundaries do you need to set? What boundaries honor you and what boundaries honor the other people around you? And so, yeah, it's hard stuff because it is painful on the upfront, but it's kind of like, you know, ripping off a Band-Aid or to use a nursing a nursing metaphor. One of the things I did when I was a bedside nurse was we had lots of wounds to clean out, mm-hmm. right? And sometimes you had to get in there and you had to clean out the necrotic tissue.
Right.
And that hurts, right? It hurts to do that. But without doing mm-hmm. that, without getting the garbage out, you can't heal properly.
Right.
And so, you know, short-term pain for the long-term good, but you need help and you need a community to go through that with. And that's why I believe so wholeheartedly in coaching is that you get that from somebody who is far enough away from your situation that they don't have a say. Personally, a personal stake in your situation, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's just remarkable. So I hope that you really lean into that. I am a little curious about how your woo and your relator show up for you, because woo is all about having brand new friends. Yep. And in overuse can be a people pleaser. Right. So that's not only affirming, like, well, no wonder I fell into that pothole. Like, this is like in overuse when I don't know what else to do, I'm going to do what I'm naturally wired to do, which is try to win others over.
Right.
Right. So without boundaries, it looks like people pleasing and all of that. So, like, all of that makes sense. But it's all about new friends, right? A stranger is just a friend I haven't met yet. Whereas relator holds the term friend very close to the chest. And only gives it out to just a few people. Mm-hmm. And so has many acquaintances, but it has very few people that they consider friends. Mm-hmm. And it tends to have very long-term relationships, whereas woo tends to have a little bit shorter relationships because you walk into a new room and like, hey, there's all these new friends. So great. Mm-hmm. So how did those two combine? Do you just have lots and lots of friends that you've had forever and ever? How does that show up for you?
Yes, actually I do. I literally could walk into a Walmart or a Target and I could meet a friend and start a conversation with them. And yet I have friends that I have known since childhood that I still communicate with, not necessarily on a daily basis, but pretty frequently. So I guess I'm the exception when it comes to having a woo and relator because I have a lot of friends and I'm very social. I love making new friends. I love meeting new people. I also have my old friends that I can get together and we can chill and we can hang out. And I have friends that I've known for years and I could pick up a phone today and I could call him and it was like, we just met. We just saw each other yesterday. Yeah. So I'm really just the exception.
You're both. Yeah.
I'm both. I really am both because I love making new friends and I love having my older friends.
That's awesome. And that does make sense. It happens to be a rarer combination, which is super, super cool.
I'm just a rare diamond.
You are a rare diamond and you are uniquely freaking awesome. but as with all entrepreneurs, like entrepreneurship can be kind of hard sometimes. Yes. and one of the things I love about this podcast is that, yes, we tell the hero story and you have one. But we also like to keep it real and talk about the things that we're going through right now. Because it's really important as an entrepreneurial community to share not just what it looks like to be on the other side of the rapids, right? Like I crossed the river, I'm good, I'm on the other side, but also to share, like this is some of the stuff that I'm handling right now and that I'm working through right now. So what is that? What is the challenge that you're working through right now?
A challenge right now is the whole religious aspect of when growing up. I grew up in a very religious, Bible thumping household where you had to follow the Bible and you had to do what it said and you had to be a certain way and act a certain way and say certain things. And that really messes with your mind. That really messes with a lot of things. When I was 16, we were in a cult and we moved an entire, this is weird, we moved an entire church to a whole other state and I wasn't allowed to go outside. I wasn't allowed to have any friends. I wasn't allowed to go to public school. I had a person already set up to marry me. I could only go to church. I had to be followed by the elders had to follow. I mean, it was very weird and strange, and it's a very strange, weird time for me. And we always went to church, but we always went to different churches. We always it was like we were church hoppers, I guess is what they call. And I never understood why, why was the reasoning behind that? But I'm kind of getting off topic here, but there was a lot of religion pushed into my head. And I mean, I could quote scriptures and all kinds of stuff to you because it's all in my head. One of the other things was that money was told growing up was that money was the root of all evil,
right?
And it was bad, and it makes people evil, and it makes people do crazy things, and you know it's not good for you. And money is energy. We need money to. I know this differently now,
right.
But those are still things that I am working through. You know, those money mindset issues, the religious, mindset issues. So those are huge struggles, and those are huge struggles for me because it was so ingrained in my head to believe a certain way and to be a certain way and to act a certain way. And I'm none of those. And religion really, really messes with your mindset.
Yeah.
And so that's a huge thing that I'm working on right now. Yes. Huge challenge.
Yeah. And you are not alone.
No.
And you know you're not alone, right?
No, I'm not.
The awareness is the first piece, right? So I when it comes to, and I talk about how this works plays out with our strengths, like when you don't know what you don't know, then you don't know it. Like, and so awareness that you have strengths is the first thing. And then now moving to a place where you can do something with them. Mm-hmm. Right. And then moving to a place where you can now anticipate them. So the when you become aware, you move from reaction mode to response mode. And then when you really learn what what those things all mean, you can move from response mode to anticipation, which means that you can now come from a place of power and you can come from a place of preparation. And control is kind of a funny word to use because there's being a control freak where you're white knuckling your life, but there's a peaceful control, right? Where you don't feel like the tail is wagging the dog.
Right.
That happens. And it's very empowering when you can make that transition from even response mode, which is very empowering, and you're no longer a victim there, into this anticipatory mode where you're like, ah, I know that this story is going to come up. I know that this thing is going to come up. And here's how I know how I'm going to handle it in this situation. So you've become aware of, if I know anything about you, and I do, you've been doing a lot of work already on the money mindset, et cetera. So you're already aware that those stories are there. And the first thing I believe is like, get the head knowledge, right? Like, mm-hmm, oh my yeah. gosh, this stuff is going on. So for you, when those stories come up, what do you do with them? Do you write them down? Do you have affirmations? How are you working with those stories as they come up in your mind? And are you catching them? When do you catch them running through your mind?
It's actually getting easier and easier to catch them. So it took me a long time, but I mean, it was basically people pointing them out to me that I was mm-hmm. doing, you know, that these things were going on, because I was so brainwashed for so long that I didn't even see it. Yeah. And so I do affirmations every day. I meditate every day. You know, there's certain things that I do in my daily practices that kind of help me get into those better mindsets. Yeah. So meditation is huge for me. I love to meditate. I do it first thing in the morning. Anytime that I see like something come up, I even have people send things to me like, oh, I think that this would be really good for you. That, you know, this webinar would be really good for you to work through certain things. Or if I see things come up, a webinar or some sort of, you know, thing that I know that's going to benefit me, I'm just going to jump. I'm just going to jump. I'm going to do it. I'm going to, you know, do it and, you know, and see what they have to say and see if I can get anything out of it. Of course I get stuff out of it, but if I find anything that comes up, I just, you know, I jump on it right away. And I still, you know, I do my affirmations every day. I do my meditation every day. Mm-hmm. So there's certain things that I do every day, and it's still going to come up. I mean, we're yes. only human. We're, that's, you know, right. Like I said before, we're these spiritual beings having a human experience. So we're going through these human experiences and working out all these issues and all these things, that behaviors and limiting beliefs
right.
that we've had for so long.
It's really hard work to change your beliefs. And yes. Something that's super interesting is our brain's job is to put things in categories and to reconfirm the pathways that are already there and the beliefs that are already there. And this is why limiting beliefs are so hard to identify, right? Yes. So as we're experiencing these limiting beliefs and we're recognizing that they're coming up, you know, we have to be able to sort of stop that that chain of like, oh, I have this story and this is what I do with it. And it's a big giant habit loop. But mm-hmm. our brain's job is to reconfirm the beliefs that are already there. So what that means is that of the 2 billion bits of information that are coming through your awareness mm-hmm. and through your senses at any given time, we can only process like, I don't know, 200 bits. And, you know, like, guys, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know, you know, exactly where
it's actually 126.
126. Okay. Yeah. So, and I've seen 200 and I've seen 220 and, you know, but here's the point is that it's minute compared mm-hmm. to how much information is coming in at us. And so when we draw our attention to certain things, like if you're sitting down right now, listening to this podcast, you know, what does the chair feel like underneath your butt? Mm-hmm. Like before I brought your attention to it, you weren't thinking about it.
Right.
So we have to draw our attention to the different things if we're going to get different results. And so when it comes to money abundance, you know, doing, and I'm a big fan, of the law of attraction and yes. universal laws, et cetera. I'm also a big fan of Abraham Hicks. It's a little woo woo, folks. It's a little woo woo, but
a little woo woo is okay.
A little woo woo is okay. Cause it's real. So, mm-hmm. you know, recognizing and thanking God or thanking the universe when you see a quarter on the street, like, oh, look at that. Money's coming at me. Like, this is yes. great. And so you're retraining. And I like to call them, I had a coach years and years ago who called the reticular activating system your bouncers. And so your reticular activating system is the thing that allows that 200 or 126 bits of information in and keeps everything else out. So what are you turning your bouncers onto? And if you can turn your bouncers onto to be looking for the things that you want more into your life, suddenly you're going to find more of it. Mm-hmm. And if you've never experienced this, go buy a new car. And then all of a sudden you see your car in the same color that you drove off the lot in. Exactly. Everywhere. Why? Right. Reticular system, right? Your bouncers are finding those things for you. So identifying those old stories and then being willing to call yourself out on them and to, you know, to the point of who are you surrounding yourself with, have other people who are willing to call you out. I'm like, oh, you know, I just heard you say, you know, no wonder this client didn't sign because I don't deserve it or I can't handle it or that mm-hmm. I wasn't good enough or like, I think that's an old story, Liza. I think you might need, and I don't know, you know, what your stories look like or what your stories sound like when they come up for you, but having those people around you who can uplift you. And this is why having friends and colleagues in the entrepreneurial community who understand equally the personal growth and how important that is, because your level of your success in your business will never outgrow your level of personal development, right? It just won't. So what are you training your bouncers to see? And so Liza, have you gone through and sort of identified some of the things that you want to see in your life?
Oh yeah. I mean, every day, I mean, I make a kind of a mental note every day that these are the kind of things that I want to experience and what I want to have go on and want to how my mindset is going to be and how I'm going to, you know, shift it if something comes up. You know, I mean, I try to just retrain my own brain into seeing things. And when you, the thing about the quarter on the floor, on the ground, literally, if I see a penny on the ground, I don't care. It's if it's a freaking penny, I'm going to pick it up.
That's
because
right.
Because it's the universe sending me money.
That's right.
Every single time I will make an effort. I'm like the other day I was walking and I had a tea in one hand and I had something in the other hand and I saw a penny on the ground and I'm like, I'm not going to pass that. I'm going to pick that up because it's the universe giving me a penny. That's mm-hmm. the universe giving me money.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter what form it comes in. That's the universe giving me that abundance. Yeah. So I take whatever comes to me now. It's like, I'm like, that's, you know, however way it comes, whatever form it comes in, it's still abundance.
Yeah.
And I still appreciate it.
And here's the thing is that those stories, like we are humans having a human experience. Those stories will continue to come up and come up and come up.
Right.
The where we get better is handling those stories.
Yes.
Right. Like if you've got a story that comes up for you and it takes you down for 3 or 4 days, then the next time, maybe it's only going to take you down for 2.5 days. Mm-hmm. And the next time, and maybe it's only going to take you down for a day. Maybe the next time, you know, and on and on and on, it takes you down for 5 minutes. Right. And we get better at processing them, but we set ourselves back when, and I know that this is something you believe as well, Liza. We set ourselves back when we beat ourselves up because we didn't handle the story fast enough.
Right.
We counteract our progress when we don't just love ourselves for identifying like, oh my gosh, I didn't know. I didn't realize that story was coming up and it came up 2 days ago and I've been in, you know, in the muck of it for 2 days instead of beating yourself up because I should have identified it 2 days ago. Go, oh, thank you. Thank you, self, for identifying that now. And now I get to process through this and I get to move forward. And so really allowing yourself space for so much self-compassion mm-hmm. and so much self-love, which is hard to do when you don't love yourself, which brings us back to you, Liza, and your specialty in being able to help people love the shell that they're in.
Yes.
Right. And sometimes we work from the inside out and sometimes we work from the outside in. And mm-hmm. both are okay. So if this is something that you're struggling with as you're listening through and like, oh yeah, yep, I got stories and they come up and then I just beat the tar out of myself. This is the time to start tackling those and begin to truly love yourself through that. So Liza, I'm curious how, you know, like these stories that you're working through when they come up for you, how long did they used to take you down for?
Oh, wow.
Can we say my whole life prior?
No.
Yeah.
Really? Right? I mean, there's like, yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, months, mm-hmm. You know, months, days, weeks, you know, and, you know, now, it's getting, yeah, I mean, there's every once in a while it's, you know, it might be a couple days.
Yeah.
But it's getting a lot shorter, right? Which is really nice.
What an incredible thing, right? So yes. Like, if we think about this in the way of like a broken bone, right? Like, mm-hmm. okay, you break a bone and sure, you're in a cast for 6 weeks and we think that's pretty normal. And sometimes you got to leave the cast on for a little longer. We still don't get on ourselves about the fact that it took 6 weeks to heal. But imagine yep. if you could heal that bone in 2 days. And yep. here's the funny thing. This is all the same thing. And yet we're still beating ourselves up for only healing that bone in 2 days. So allowing ourselves and yourself, and as you're listening, you a little bit of grace as you're moving through these stories, because every time this story comes up and every time you handle it, you're better equipped to handle it the next time.
Right.
Yeah. So I just want to say kudos to you, Liza, for being willing to do the hard work of handling old stories, and that you made the transition from them handling you
yes.
to you handling them. And as you move forward, and thank you for sharing, because there's so many people out there that really struggle with not just, you know, not just the money aspect of, you know, the root of, what is it? It's not, and here's the thing. That's not even what the Bible verse says.
It isn't. No, it isn't.
But isn't they
say
irony?
That. Yes.
Yeah. So the root of evil, is not money.
No.
Or money is not the root of all evil, right? It only makes you more of who you are. Mm-hmm. And when you love yourself and you love what you're doing and you love other people, that money is only going to make you more of who you are, which is a loving, giving, grateful person.
Exactly.
And the world needs more successful entrepreneurs who are loving, grateful, giving human beings.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I think that's where we're going to wrap it today, because I really want people to simmer and marinate in that thought. Liza, where can people find you? And, you know, they're listening all over the world. Can you see clients across seas, or do they need to be in our backyard here in Minnesota? And where can they find you? How can they work with you?
No, I work with anybody. I have clients all over the world. So Australia, England, everywhere. I mean, awesome. So yeah, we meet one-on-one through Zoom calls, and people can find me, my website, lizalomax.com, and they can schedule an appointment through there. I'm on social media. I'm probably on every bit of social media, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you name it, I'm on all those.
And she's amazing on Facebook, you guys. I like and love a lot of things on Facebook, but you are one of the few people that I engage with because you're engaging. So so do follow her on Facebook. And I'm going to spell her website for you because I think that it's important. It's LIZALOMAX. .com. I do that every time. And it's like, it's concerted effort it's to call you Liza because it's not an S, y'all. It's a Z. Right. LIZALOMAX.com is where you can find Liza. So thank you, Liza, for being here, for sharing your story of success, your hero story, and your story of continued challenge, which you are crushing.
Thank you so very much for having me. I'm honored that you invited me to come on your podcast. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd be honored if you'd leave a review over on iTunes. Every single review means the world to me. To know you're listening and to know you're finding value makes this whole thing worthwhile. And hey, while you're over there, click on subscribe to make sure you're notified of future episodes. Until next time, keep being frickin' awesome.